Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30. The big dog is gonna hunt!
And now, here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for a Roman Reigns heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Hey everybody, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me. Today is Saturday as I record this, June 9th, 2018. Thank you for joining me. And I'd like to extend a welcome to all the new listeners. And those of you who are loyal listeners, I also do appreciate you throughout the months or years or weeks or days, however long you've been listening to me. I really do appreciate you guys. And as I start every podcast, just a reminder, if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, get in touch with me, talk wrestling, whatever, please do so. It's at the WWE Podcast on Twitter. And so before I get to wrestling, and I've got some highlights from Raw and SmackDown this past week. There's one thing that's been going on, and this is way off topic, and that's fine. That's all I'm going to spend a minute on it. And apparently, there was, and I got this story from Twitter, and I tweeted out a probably not a very popular opinion, but let me just say this. Apparently, ABC had to offer an apology over a controversial episode of Quantico. And it was because they used an Indian character to aid a terrorist. It was a plot that an Indian nationalist trying to carry out a nuclear attack in Manhattan. It sparked major backlash in India. Are we really that sensitive today? Are we really that just sensitive? I mean... there's no other word to describe it. It's, to me, I just don't understand why people, a nation, apparently the whole nation of India is outraged that they used an Indian, someone from India, that their nationality was represented in a fake nuclear attack. We can't even produce scripted, fake, you know, not real shows that have any nationality whatsoever, as the antagonist to blow up a city. I'm just not following. Everybody apparently has to have a voice. Everybody has to be equally represented. Everybody has to be sensitive to the culture and the beliefs and views and sexual orientation of everybody. Everybody needs to be equally represented. It makes me sick that we can't even have a fake show about any nationality or about any storyline having to, you know, we always have to be concerned about race. It's ridiculous. But we've unfortunately come to the sign of the times here where everybody can go on social media, news is spread in an instant, and we are all sensitive to, well, that's representing me. I have a voice. I don't like that. It's stupid. So I just wanted to say that and expand a little bit on that without cursing and going into too much of a tirade. So let me get to WWE, guys. And this past week, and by the way, guys, I'm on my normal mic. Maybe I sound better. Hopefully I do. But I wanted to get to a couple highlights. I'm not going to go through everything as I normally do in some shows, where I used to go through almost everything. I'd actually type out everything, and I used to do it at work, but no longer. So there's a couple things that I wanted to touch on. Let's start on a positive note, and that is Carmella. And I tweeted this out as well. I am really enjoying what Carmella has done on SmackDown Live. I think that she's obnoxious. She feels natural as a heel. She has gotten new life breathed into her character turning heel, just as Shinsuke Nakamura has. She has, I think, done a better job than any of us could have thought. And in my mind, has stepped away from that category of being a transitional champion. I think she is no longer in that transitional champion category that myself and probably many others had put her in when she cashed in that Money in the Bank and became champion. she has really transformed just her on-air presence. She's obnoxious, as I said. She's well-spoken. She's great on commentary. She's got good body language. She feels authentically like a total, you know what, PG show, folks. And it's great. This is a compliment to Carmella. I think she has really stepped up her game since becoming champion. And kudos to her. Kudos to WWE for being able to book her in a way that would position her to be a legitimate champion. I'm really enjoying that. As well as I enjoyed this past SmackDown Live with Mandy Rose versus Asuka. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville versus Asuka. More specifically in that handicap match, when it came down to Sonya Deville and Asuka, that was surprisingly good. And I did not expect that to come out of that angle. Both were very physical. Physical was the name of the game on that one. Great near falls. I would like to see a one-on-one with these two. Mandy Rose kind of got pushed to the side. Sonya Deville clearly took the spotlight here. And Asuka also held up her end as well. And I really, really enjoyed Sonya Deville versus Asuka. I know it was a handicap match, but the portion that I really enjoyed, as I said, was Sonya Deville. And that was to my delight. You know, I don't like to always harp on the negative and things that WWE can improve on. And I do like to give them credit where credit's due. And this is one of the cases on SmackDown Live. And so I really enjoyed that. The other couple items I'm going to touch on here. Big Cass. People have been down on Big Cass. I think he is well spoken. I didn't quite understand the camera angle that they used this past week, where he's talking to the Titantron, I guess, and his back is to the crowd. I know it's a nice new visual with thousands of people behind him, and they tried to do the angle where the cameras are looking up at him to accentuate his height. And you know, I would like to for him to step away from the repetitiveness that he is 7 feet tall. We know that. I would like to, you know, that's a little bit too one-dimensional for me, just as Bobby Roode is way, way too lenient or reliant on the one-word gimmick that he is, and that's glorious. Outside of the entrance, I'd like to see more from Bobby Roode, and I think a heel turn could do him some favors as well. So, but Big Cass, back to my point, I'm enjoying the Daniel Bryan Big Cass segments. I really am. I want to see Big Cass get his ass kicked, and what more could you ask for when you're watching wrestling? That is what you want. You want to be invested in wanting to see the good guy beat the bad guy. You know, not to oversimplify, but that is the essence of what makes wrestling great. And I think Big Cass has been doing a very good job. Daniel Bryan holding up his end as well. I know that many of us last week wanted to see one-on-one with Samoa Joe versus Daniel Bryan. I think that could be coming down the line as we head more towards Money in the Bank. And I have predictions next week, and I don't want to really lean one way or the other because it's not obvious to me. I don't see a very obvious winner when it comes to the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. There's just too many options for the men that are in this match. And you could label some front runners. The Miz, Samoa Joe is one. I would not put it past Finn Balor. I know that we saw him grab the briefcase, but that doesn't necessarily take him out. I think that is a very possible outcome as Finn Balor wins this. And you have the Demon versus the Beast at SummerSlam. I don't think that is such a bad thing either. So there's lots of options, and that's a good thing. That is a good thing when you are in that position where there's no obvious winner. So next week will be predictions. I don't really have a clear-cut option right now. Now, one more positive aspect from SmackDown Live before I get to some of the critiques or suggestions. How about that? Suggestions is the Becky Lynch versus Charlotte. And right now, these are two on-air storyline babyface friends. Even after the match, after Becky put Charlotte in the disarmer and had her tap out clean, they still seem to get along, and they still seem to both be friends. It was billed as friendly competition, and it remained that way, which I'm okay with. I don't think either woman needs to turn heel right now. And more specifically, it's encouraging to see Becky Lynch get on somewhat of a roll, anything at all. And this is encouraging after months and months and months, really this past year, calendar year. Well, I would, yeah, no, the past 12 months, I would say that Becky has kind of gone by the wayside. She's been a little bit forgotten. And so I think that putting her in the position to get a clean victory over Charlotte is a positive thing right now for Becky. The follow-up, though, for this is going to be key. We can't have next week a rematch with Charlotte and Becky, and Charlotte beats Becky clean. This is where you can't do this to the Becky Lynch character, who, for all intents and purposes, has had zero momentum the last few months and year, really. So I think that was an encouraging sign for those of you who are Becky Lynch fans, and I believe that many of us feel that she's criminally underused on SmackDown Live and WWE in general. She's a good in-ring worker. She's above the majority of the ladies in the locker room when it comes to cutting promos, and she has a presence about her. She has a fan base. I think she's one of the only call-ups from NXT that has not been used to her full potential yet. It's like they've touched it. Yes, she's become champion, but then they've immediately had her lose the belt. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, right now, Becky Lynch has never, ever successfully defended the women's championship. She's become champion, but she's never successfully defended it. And I think this could be the year of Becky Lynch, at least. And I may be extending this from an inch to a mile from her win on SmackDown, but it is encouraging to see, because Charlotte is the alpha female on SmackDown Live. And anybody who would say otherwise probably doesn't know what they're talking about. So for Becky to beat Charlotte, who is clearly in the pecking order of WWE, leaps and bounds ahead of where Becky has been over the last year, is a very good sign. So I think that's an indicator that they could be doing something more with Becky Lynch over the next few months. And I'm all for it, because as I said, she has so much untapped potential that it's criminal. It really is criminal. So now let's get to a couple things that I would like to see changed in WWE. And I don't think this will ever change. Unfortunately, I think it's here to stay. And there's two things. One, on SmackDown Live, I'm still on SmackDown here, we had a tag team match. Jey Uso and Naomi versus Rusev, or Rusev Day, which is just Aiden English and Lana. Now, this is a mixed tag match, correct? That's a mixed tag match, which, if people don't remember, mixed tag matches mean that the women compete with the women and the men compete with the men. Intergender means that the women can compete with the men, and obviously women can compete with women and women and men with men. So with those rules in mind, although I think WWE just has forgotten about the intergender tag team match label, that there is a difference, and just said mixed tag match. They did that with Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle versus Triple H and Stephanie at WrestleMania. And they did it again here on SmackDown Live with a mixed tag match. And maybe the rules are just any competitor can get physical with any other competitor, regardless of gender. Well, here's the problem I have. How many times do we see the women on the roster or in a match, in a mixed tag match, have the ability to just slap the men around, kick them, berate them, do anything physical that they would like to do to the man with zero retaliation from the man, the male competitor. Zero, none. Whatever happened to the days of Stone Cold stunning Stacy Keibler, Mae Young, Stephanie McMahon, Not Tori Wilson. There was somebody else that he... Molly Holly. You guys remember that? When she was with Spike Dudley. Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to Triple H pedigreeing Stephanie McMahon herself at WrestleMania? Whatever happened to that? With Bubba Ray Dudley putting Mae Young through tables. Kane tombstoning Tori. Whatever happened to that? It was entertaining. It made for great TV, in my opinion. And here's where people are saying that doesn't fit in today's society. It's not progressive. Here's what I would say, and this goes back to my initial point at the beginning of the show. People need to just lighten up, relax. It is and I cannot stress this enough. Hear my words if you disagree with me, because it's almost impossible to argue this point. This is a fantasy. Bold that, italicize it, underline it. And you can even put the font to 48 if you'd like. Fantasy environment. What does that mean? What does fantasy mean? Let me look. I think that means it's not real. It's scripted. It was choreographed. It was decided beforehand. It is not real. Just as movies. Just as TV shows. Majority. Obviously, there's documentaries and things like that. This is a fantasy environment. Fantasy. I just don't understand the acceptance that we're just supposed to, as male competitors, sit there and take slaps, kicks, everything, multiple slaps and kicks from female competitors and have zero retaliation. None. It's like they're immune simply because of their gender. And I know that that's never going to change. WWE is publicly traded. They have corporate sponsorships. They're with all of these great charities, which, I'll get to in a moment. And it's a PG product with kids watching. And that wouldn't be responsible. That wouldn't be responsible looking at today's society. Because it's WWE's responsibility to make sure that they don't produce a content that could negatively affect their audience. Really? Really? Well, what about video games? Movies? TV shows? It's as if this whole world has become so concerned about the perception and the optics of what are going on and how it affects what they think is right and wrong and what is progressive. Boy, I hate that. I hate progressive ideology in general. I hate it. I think when you label your company as progressive, you are just doing and saying that to appease to the masses of people who are, it's suddenly just only socially acceptable if you're a progressive. Only. It is, I am talking softly right now, but inside is a lot of emotion on this subject, and I'll leave it at that. But let me just say this, that WWE is trying to label themselves as a progressive company, but they're in the fantasy business. They are in the non-reality, and they like to label it as entertainment. Well, then if it's entertainment and you're a parent, that is a real parent being concerned about what your kids are watching, well then, be a parent. And if they're watching things that you don't approve of, guess what? Turn it off. Be a parent. And unfortunately, WWE likes to label themselves as this happy-go-lucky, look at all the charities we're doing company that is concerned about the image that they have with their corporate sponsors and Wall Street and the public in general, and making sure that on the Today Show and all of these wonderful things. So seeing men hit women, even though they'll when it's the opposite, it's okay, wouldn't be acceptable. It's just infuriating that whenever you see it happen, you know that the men can't retaliate because of the corporate environment and culture that is now WWE. And many of you are going, what a jerk. I do not promote, nor do I support in any way domestic violence with men on women. But when it comes to a fantasy environment, and that is, it's presented in an entertainment value, and I know it's not real, and it gives me a couple laughs, and it's deserved, I 100% support it in a fantasy environment. And if you can't be a parent and tell your kids that clearly this is not real and you need to use your head, then I think you need to reevaluate yourself and look in the mirror. I mean, my God, look what they did in the Attitude Era. Just look at what they did in the Attitude Era. They had Vince McMahon versus Stephanie McMahon, with Vince beating up his daughter. You had China beat Jeff Jarrett for the Intercontinental Championship. So let me leave it at that, but let me get to Raw. And before I get to my little bit of a criticism on Raw with their lovely Special Olympics partnership, I do have to touch on a couple other things. And unfortunately, Raw was not a lot to get excited about on Raw. Money in the Bank is about a week away now, but there wasn't a whole lot to get excited about. Baron Corbin in his role as kind of the Stephanie McMahon puppet, I think, is a good role for Baron Corbin right now to balance out Kurt Angle's happy-go-lucky kind of a do-gooder. I think that is a good thing. This could be a bit of a launching point for Corbin moving forward. I think it's a good thing for him to get in the spotlight, because I think he was a bit underused on SmackDown after he squandered his opportunity with winning the Money in the Bank briefcase last year. This could be a reinvigoration of his career and switching brands, switching roles, moving away from SmackDown Live may be the best thing that he has done in 2018. So let me get to one good thing that WWE was probably, for lack of a better term, having an orgasm over this past week, Monday night, with being in Texas and them cheering, for the most part, I'd say 75-25, cheering Roman Reigns, coming to the aid of Seth Rollins, and you have a tag team match with Seth Rollins being two-thirds of the Shield against Jinder Mahal. And this, to me, WWE, while they can sit there and applaud themselves for this very small victory in terms of getting at least a slightly positive, more positive than negative reaction of Roman Reigns, can they really count it as a victory? Because the only time that he doesn't get booed out of the building is when they put Seth Rollins next to him. What happens when they remove Seth Rollins from Roman Reigns? Well, we've seen what happens. So I don't see the long-term vision here being the Shield, at least in 2018, 2019. I don't see the long-term vision for Roman Reigns being successful in the Shield. I still believe WWE wants to see him be the babyface of the company, successful babyface of the company. And right now, unless you put him next to Seth Rollins, he will get booed out of the building. And while it was a very small victory for WWE, really Vince McMahon, in WWE this past Monday night when they gave him a very warm reaction, what are they going to do when Money in the Bank comes around and it's Jinder Mahal versus Roman Reigns in Chicago and the crowd does one of two things: outright rejects the match
multiple chance. This is awful. Maybe people even leave. Or two, they cheer Jinder and boo Roman Reigns out of the building. Those are really your only two options. It's one of the two. I would love, I can't wait. I can't wait for Money in the Bank to see what the crowd does with that match. So while they may have won this small battle, they continue to lose the war. This war of attrition that Roman Reigns, really Vince McMahon, has with the fans. It is a war on fans with Roman Reigns because he thinks he knows better than the rest of us. And yet it's been 4 years. So, hey, what do we know? All right, let me get to something else before I talk about Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax. And that is this Big Show coming out as the corporately sponsored, really corporately sponsored spokesman is all he was for the Special Olympics. You have got to be kidding me. And I know this is also something that's not going anywhere, just as men-on-women violence suddenly doesn't exist, even though it goes the other way and it's okay and it's socially acceptable and it's progressive. Here's another thing. And I may sound insensitive, and I may sound like a total ass, and you may think this guy promotes, he thinks men-on-women violence is good on TV, and he doesn't think that WWE's product is less important than the Special Olympics' purpose. Let me tell you something. I don't watch WWE to worry about these causes and to worry about the progressive ideologies and latest trends that everyone thinks are going in the right direction and are more socially acceptable. I'll promise I'll stop talking in that voice soon. It's a very passionate subject that I have, a passionate reaction that I have to a company that I love, to see them. And I don't know where to direct my displeasure, whether it's society in general or for WWE moving along with those trends instead of being that one place you can escape and watch fantasy become reality. And I don't mean that in a nasty sexual way. I mean, let's get our heads on straight, guys. I mean that in a way that used to feel like a place I could go that anything could happen at any moment, regardless of who you are in the storyline or whatever. Everything, unfortunately, now feels structured, scripted. Everyone talks the same way. The segments are structured the same way. The commercial breaks are even structured the same way. The interviews are done the same way. Characters are developed, for the most part, the same way. Announcers say the same things from show to show the same way. And now you have this overarching theme of philanthropy is the future of business, according to Stephanie McMahon, who would rather associate herself with a company that has nothing to do with wrestling and more of a company that has everything to do with the good works and charity that we're doing out in the community. And now we're bringing it into the TV product to undermine all of the work that has been done over the last 2 hours to have a former wrestler, performer come out and push this great cause of being a Special Olympic athlete and all of what's great about doing this. And look at what we're doing. It makes me sick. I don't need, and again, I think the Special Olympics is awesome, but I don't need it on WWE TV when it undermines their own product, takes me out of the moment, and they seem to care more about the public perception of what WWE is instead of their own product that could be generating money by creating a product that feels more real instead of corporate. I mean, listen to Kurt Angle when he comes out and talks on Monday Night Raw. Number one, he will welcome us to Monday Night Raw. He'll come out and play along with the crowd with the "you suck" by, throwing his arms up in the air and chanting along with them like it's a term of endearment. And then he'll welcome us to Monday Night Raw. And then especially if it's a week before a pay-per-view, look out next week, folks. Angle could open the show, and he'll give us the rundown of the card from A to Z, featuring AJ Styles versus whatever the card may be. Look back at Kurt Angle's career in WWE before this whole thing became corporate. Kurt Angle would never use his own words to speak like that. If you take out Kurt Angle and you insert the Authority when they were running Raw, Stephanie said those exact same words before a pay-per-view, telling us the highlights of the pay-per-view coming up, what the card was. You know whose job that is? The announcers. This is what I'm talking about. Everything just feels the same. It's just the same words, but insert wrestler A or insert wrestler B. It doesn't matter who it is. Everyone speaks the same way. The backstage segments are done the same way. Nobody, when you're backstage, by the way, nobody speaks face to face. It's always like they're turned towards the camera. But the camera's not supposed to be there, right? At least they're not supposed to acknowledge it's there. It's one of the unwritten rules of backstage segments. You don't look at the camera when you're interacting with whoever you're interacting with, unless you're doing an interview, maybe with Renee or Charlie or whoever it may be. But this is the problem I have, and I'm tired of hearing about Connor's Cure. I'm tired of hearing about Susan G. Komen. I'm tired of hearing about anti-bullying. I'm tired of hearing about Special Olympics. It's all transparently corporate garbage that is doing nothing other than making me feel embarrassed to be a fan. And everybody, it's just so soft and cuddly, and it's no longer this rough around the edges, anything could happen fantasy environment where it feels unpredictable and just a lot of fun to watch. You just know what's going to happen almost from segment to segment. And that's the problem I have with it. Not that I don't support the cause, but it just takes away from what made it great. What movie do you watch that has an actual intermission where the good guys and the bad guys come out and they all join forces and look at what this great cause is? You know what, this great cause, this charity, we're going to use that to pause the movie and let everyone know that we support this cause. It's just saying that this is more important than their product that they're putting on TV. And it's such crap. It's crap. So I know that's the corporate culture. I know it's not going anywhere, but that's how I feel about it. As I say, unapologetically. Okay. One last note here, and then I'll close it here. Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax. Last week, I think they hit it out of the park. This week, unfortunately, they took one step forward and two steps back. And I don't like to end on a negative note. I really don't. But when you have Ronda out there, again on commentary, and you have Nia Jax in the ring competing against Natalya, I don't know who booked this whole segment, but they need to sit down and be questioned. You have now. Here, let me just one thing here. Ronda Rousey on commentary. When Michael Cole said that there was a comment about Ronda that she's ripe for the picking. Anybody else catch this? She said that that's only something her husband can say to her. And then she doubled down and said it again. What? And she came off smug, arrogant, just kind of a bitch. And she just said it twice. And it's like, I don't know what that's supposed to establish. It's not funny. It's kind of inappropriate for a PG product. And it came off smug. Like, it's not a good line. It's just stupid. So this is probably her worst night that she's had in WWE to date. And then you have Natalya lose to Nia Jax after an injury. And Nia acted like she caused the injury. But if you look, Natalya came off the ropes and just twisted her ankle, which was the injury. So Ronda telling Nia that, haven't you already done enough? Nia didn't injure Natalya. Natalya injured Natalya. So with Ronda just giving her the little mean, cute face, you know, for 90% of the time, it really was just an awful segment. I don't think this... I'm going to erase this one from my memory. Hopefully they come back. They still got a week to promote this. So, unfortunately, that was not the best segment that WWE has produced. and really, I think, did damage to Ronda. All right, so one last thing. I got to end on a positive note. I really do, because I don't want to end you, leave you guys feeling the sour taste in your mouth. There's been a lot of, in myself included, negativity around Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn. This whole storyline, admittedly, is nonsense. Bobby Lashley partly is to blame for his just awkwardness, inability to really come up with a good punchline, a good comeback, awkwardly smiling with his weird hats. I'm not behind Bobby Lashley in this whatsoever. I think it's weird, but the positive spin, told you there's a positive spin coming, is Sami Zayn. Has he been given too much promo time? Maybe. But he has been given chicken you-know-what, and he's making chicken salad out of it. He has really been given a crap storyline and put his own spin on it, and he makes it feel more real than any other storyline on Raw right now. And that's weird to say from such a bad program, but Sami Zayn is doing so good with such a bad storyline that he should be commended for it. I know that people are saying, that's just silly. We don't. Who is Bobby Lashley? Yeah, he's trying to get to the bottom of who he is. And the silly stuff that Bobby Lashley put on Instagram is, oh, look at all this inspirational stuff, I think was a dig from management on Bobby Lashley himself. Because it is a little bit like eye-rolling that you put all these things that about breaking out of the box and rise higher, all this garbage meme stuff that he puts on his Instagram account. And Bobby Lashley had nothing to say in response to it. Nothing. Which is not good if you're the babyface in the program. And what really struck a chord was when he said, Bobby, were you really even in the military? And people said, well, why didn't Bobby Lashley chase him through the crowd? Well, number one, he's 100 yards away, so he's not going to catch him. So, smart on his part, maybe he was laying a trap anyway, so he just, to me, that made it more real. That brought everything back to, okay, there's something here. So while as bad of a segment as it was with the Three Sisters a couple of weeks ago, it has become a little bit more interesting with Sami Zayn bringing his military and questioning was he even in the military into the storyline. That really brought the crowd into it. It brought me as a viewer into it. And yes, has Sami rambled on a little too much? Maybe. But I think that is something that is that they can build on in the next week, with the last week before the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. All right, guys. Well, that's all I got. This has probably been one of the longer ones I've had in a while. I'll be back with my predictions next week, with also a follow-up to Raw and SmackDown, and getting you guys ready for Money in the Bank, and then SummerSlam. Yeah, SummerSlam season's coming. I think it's going to be a big one. We just got to get all through this Money in the Bank pay-per-view, and then we'll be starting to look ahead a little bit towards SummerSlam. So, all right, guys. That's all I got to talk to you today about. So if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, please tweet me at the WWE Podcast. And I'd love to interact with you. Until then, talk to you next time.